Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thank you for joining us here today on the program, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. After long days in the field, equipment is subject to wear. Cenex Premium Lubricants help keep equipment protected. Learn more at Cenex.com. Jesse Allen with you here. We got a great show coming up today. We are going to talk with House Ag Chairman G.T. Thompson for Pennsylvania, get some updates on this farm bill and the framework released this week by his team and more. That is coming up here in segment two. In segment three, we're going to talk the Midwest economy, the Rural Main Street Index, and more with Ernie Goss from Creighton University. And in segment four today, we're going to talk aviation safety, especially with a lot more drones out there providing aerial application. Andrew Moore with the National Agricultural Aviation Association is going to join us here at the end of today's program. Let's kick things off, though, talk markets here on AOA. We welcome in the president of Ag Resource Company. Dan Bossi is with us here on the show today. Dan, it's good to talk with you again, sir. How are you?
I'm well, Jesse. Hope your Friday's starting out very well.
And mine is starting well. Got a cup full of coffee, and we are ready to go here as we take a look at the markets. Dan, short covering rally in grains here the last couple of sessions. Looks like it's continuing on Friday, and it sounds like a lot of this is tied to various weather concerns, really, around the world, not just the U.S., but South America, Europe, et cetera. Is that kind of how you are viewing some of this rally here in the grains the last couple of days?
We are, Jesse. We think it's domiciled overseas. But I'll tell you what is a little confusing, if you will, is the big jump in over open interest that occurred yesterday. So we in Chicago are also seeing some new money coming in here. I think the money may have left coffee, cocoa, and sugar, and maybe it's coming into the grain markets. You know, grains are the only commodities that haven't rallied yet this year. And so some of my fund clients are looking at the opportunity, and I think they're putting some money to work. Other than that, though, I will tell you it's the dryness across northern Brazil, the acute flooding. I mean, it's the worst flooding since 1941 for Rio Grande do Sul, and my clients down there are unlikely to get to the fields for another 2 or 3 weeks, and losses will probably be 20% or 30%. And then we've got this dryness, which is encompassing much of the western areas of the wheat belt in Russia. And so put it all together, and we are probably looking at a Argentinian-Brazilian corn crop that's down about 12 million tons from last year, a smaller Russian wheat crop, and that's got some percolation of buying happening here in Chicago.
You mentioned South America, and I know, again, your connections down there, your clients, your team. As far as the dryness concerns in Safrida corn, I want to ask you a little bit more on that. How concerned should we be right now in terms of the hot, dry pattern that we're seeing in some of the Safrida corn areas, Dan?
Well, we're now to the point about 67% of the Safrida corn crop is either pollinating or in the, what I say, late vegetative stages. So, you know, 3 weeks of hot, dry weather that we've been enduring already is important. If it doesn't rain and we keep with the dry season, if you will, through the month of May, you know, we'll be working with a corn crop estimate in Brazil, probably down in the 108 to 111 area. That compares to the USDA's 124. So important relative to last year's 137 million metric ton crop. So U.S. export opportunities are increasing, you know, smaller Ukrainian crop, smaller Brazilian crop. And then we had that surprise cut yesterday in Argentina by the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, in which they cut the corn crop 3 million tons, about 100 million bushels, to 46.5 million tons. So all of this together is giving us a better export profile, particularly in the new crop corn.
Got a very important USDA WASDE report coming up next week, and there's been plenty of talk at the trade about the discrepancy between USDA's numbers and their view of the South American crops versus, say, CONAB or the Grains Exchange in Argentina, et cetera. Could this maybe be the report where we see USDA come down a little bit, or Is USDA maybe more right with some of their estimates here for the South American crop? Dan, what do you think?
Well, I think, Jesse, they come down a little bit. I think you hit the number right when you said a little bit. This is a plotting process statistically for USDA. And the only way we know where the crop size will be is if we get to the point where crush and exports are kind of at a point that we can get some certainty around stocks. The Brazilian cash market, though, is doing quite well. I mean, a year ago, I was looking back, we were $1.90 under the U.S. Gulf for the 3rd of May. Today, we're 35 over. And so the cash market in Brazil is a different animal in telling me that maybe that CONAB number may be closer to right, but it's going to take us, I'm going to say, 4 to 6 months before USDA comes to that same conclusion.
We're talking with Dan Bossy, president of Ag Resource Company here on AOA. Dan, on the demand side here in the U.S. as well, I noticed we got a soybean flash sale this Friday morning. That's something that's kind of become a rare occurrence, it would seem. Weekly export sales, corn, wheat shipments continue to be pretty good. Soybeans a laggard, though. And overall, you look at U.S. stocks and where they're at right now. I mean, we still, this demand picture is kind of a piece of the puzzle that isn't getting maybe talked about as much as it probably should be right now. Your thoughts on overall U.S. Grain demand?
Well, domestic demand will be record large, and so we're fine with it. And this is where that Brazilian component comes in. When can we become competitive again in the world market? So the spread between the Gulf and Paranaguá or Santos is down to about 15 to 20 cents a bushel. So to Europe, we're already seeing that we're competitive for July and August. That's why I think this morning we had a soybean sale to unknown destinations. I'm going to put a label on it and call our friends in the EU that they'll take in the beans and then draw back the soybean oil and maybe use it for renewable diesel. But, you know, it's coming together. And again, by late summer, we should have an opportunity to start seeing better soybean demand from the world and also corn demand. And that's a lot different than last year. So on my export estimates, I've been taking new crop corn exports up to about 2.3 billion bushels, so 200 million bushels above USDA. And this is where we start to get some traction in terms of domestic and export demand, helping us to get rid of these big supplies.
Well, at the top of the interview, you mentioned some of those volatile outside markets like coffee, cocoa, et cetera, gold, where maybe some money's flowing out of there. I know stocks, it's been a wild ride this week. The stock market higher on Friday here. Any notes for outside markets that could maybe be something to watch here over the next couple of days, Dan?
Well, I would probably tell you, I think the dollar is what we need to watch. You know, I'm still concerned about the U.S. increasing its debt by $1 trillion every 100 days. That's something that is going to be bearish to the U.S. dollar at some point. But it may not happen until we start to see the Fed easing. And so in our expectations, we pulled forward. We were thinking the Fed was going to ease in November. We now think there's a fair chance they'll start the first rate cut in September. And so we are seeing the U.S. economy start to weaken. And so as that weakens, I imagine that'll be negative to the dollar. Negative to the dollar would start pulling some money into commodities.
Dan Bossy, president of Ag Resource Company. Find them agresource.com. Dan, thanks for joining us at AOA. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Jeff. Bye-bye.
All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. We'll talk with House Ag Chairman G.T. Thompson of Pennsylvania on the way right after this. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel to keep you in the field. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com for details. Let's not waste any time. Happy to have join us here today on AOA, House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania. Chairman Thompson, welcome back to Agriculture of America. How are you, sir?
Jesse, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to, you know, to talk with you and, quite frankly, to talk with all your listeners. Thanks for being a great voice for America's number one industry, agriculture.
Well, we are, thank you, and we're happy to have you here as we have plenty to talk about, especially surrounding the Farm Bill. I know here this week you have released the House framework here for this Farm Bill. You've set a target date for a markup here in just a few weeks' time. Can you just start and maybe lay out for our listeners here some of the key points you laid out with that framework here this week?
No, absolutely. The key thing is we're going to do a markup in the House Agriculture Committee on May 23rd of the Farm Bill. And, the chairman's mark is it's a bipartisan product, and it provides effective tools to our producers really by bolstering the safety net. It's going to strengthen nutrition programs and access opportunities. And so much more. I am so proud of all 12 titles. Jesse, I spent 7 hours on Monday starting to walk through what I would call the enhancements, the additions, the improvements to this farm bill, you know, that will absolutely make this a highly effective, and I think in many regards, a transformational farm bill. And I didn't get through everything in 7 hours. We didn't talk about the things that are just kind of standard and don't really change. This was just the new things that came from really a tripartisan voice. I heard it from Republicans, from Democrats, and from the hardworking families within the within American agriculture. As we've really conducted an extensive and transparent process, soliciting feedback. 85 listening sessions, 40 states, one territory. member portal, political portal, and it members of both political parties. We've had some really good and some tough conversations, but it's been, it's resulted in a product that will be put the farm back into the farm bill, a robust farm bill that will meet the needs and the priorities that we heard from the American farm families.
Well, and you alluded to some tough conversations there, and I do want to ask you about that. I know that there's been a lot of talk in various media about some of the partisan differences in both chambers, on Capitol Hill, for that matter, on the House side and the Senate side. I know when you released your framework, your colleague, Ranking Member David Scott, had a statement out as well. There was maybe some indication of some disagreement. But I guess I want to ask you, since you were there, you're in the rooms, is the amount of maybe disagreement that's being reported, is it really true? I mean, where I know it's a big uphill battle. There's a lot of tough conversations, as you mentioned. So realistically, where are things at between Republicans and Democrats here?
Well, I got to tell you, we've been working closely. I've been listening and have brought my Democratic colleagues. They're good people. They're great members of the Ag Committee to the table. And I have baked their ideas into this chairman's mark that I'll be releasing publicly in the not too distant future. Many of these ideas are obviously bipartisan. They all are contributing to help us realize our goal of supporting America's number one industry, which is agriculture. And there are some parts that have gotten, politicized. There are some folks who have chosen to do that. I mean, part of it is maybe on the part of some, that I believe they want a robust farm bill from all perspectives, from an agriculture farming perspective, from rural America, from nutrition, but you got to pay for it, right? Nothing's free in this world, and we have to pay for it within the jurisdiction of the House within the jurisdiction of the Agriculture Committee. And so part of that has been some pushback, which, somewhat disingenuous on the funding framework that I've made some concessions, largely a matter of goodwill. Most recent proposal provides for a robust farm safety program that is fully funded. That means no Inflation Reduction Act or nutrition dollars will go towards farm safety net. And not a single dollar is going to be cut from the current SNAP beneficiaries. And I've shared my willingness to use most, if not all, the Conservation Inflation Reduction Act dollars towards Title II, which is a conservation title. So this is really going to be a popular bill for our stakeholders. Mm-hmm. So the ranking member of the committee, Democrats, have some decisions to make. I was really excited as I did this line by line walkthrough to see how many initiatives we've baked into this chairman's mark that came from in a bipartisan way, or quite frankly, were led by my Democratic colleagues.
Well, I guess to kind of wrap up the farm bill side of this here real quick, as we look at the timeline, you mentioned the markups, and I know that I've heard from some of your Senate counterparts that they're hoping to kind of follow your lead on this here. Realistically, can we get this across the finish line either before the presidential election or maybe in a lame duck after the election here, Chairman Thompson?
Jesse, I want to say yes. And you know what? And here's the thing. There's an urgency. Right now, we only have about $14 billion left in the Inflation Reduction Act conservation dollars. And when those monies are spent currently, without doing a farm bill, without my proposal to roll it into the baseline, those dollars are gone forever. If we get this done, the sooner we get this done, this farm bill passed, the better, because we will be able to roll those conservation dollars. And right now, the balance is about $14 billion. We'll be able to roll that into the baseline. So that money will be there for conservation for perpetuity, for the 2050 farm bill, the 2055 farm bill. And so I would hope maybe the secretary might even consider pumping the brakes just a little bit, on just throwing this money out, making the investment in conservation, and that's what it's for, so that we could actually get this farm bill done, so that we would have those monies not just for this 5-year period, but for every 5-year period farm bill after this. So that's a new urgency that I'm trying to bring to everybody's attention of why we need to be on task. So we're going to move ahead in a dutiful way. I'm looking forward to sitting down with Senator Stabenow. She's a friend of mine next week. I appreciate the fact that she's interested in getting going. I read what she put out. I know that Senator Bozeman is really interested in being at the table. We've done communications. We're working with our Democratic colleagues. I would say that 90% of what we've baked into this chairman's mark, we've done it negotiating in good faith with the Democrat part of the committee. Mm-hmm. And so really continue to work in a bipartisan, transparent way. There's some, sometimes it gets reported that doesn't occur, but just to, show you what's really behind the screen. This has been transparent, bipartisan, from the very beginning, starting with collection of all the input and the information and quite frankly, taking ideas. So I'm excited where we're at, and this will be, I think at the end of the day, as we get through this process, we will have a highly effective, bipartisan, and quite frankly, transformational farm bill for many respects.
Well, we appreciate the work you and your committee have been doing. As we wrap up here, we have just about a minute. I know there's a plethora of other issues out there for agriculture that we could talk about. Anything final you would want to share here for our listeners today?
Well, there's just a lot that our farmers are facing today. The one thing that we really need to do, and this farm bill does it, is we need to restore a robust trade program for agriculture products. And so my chairman's mark will be doubling what our investments there, foreign market development, market access program. Doubling is where it needs to be. That's the consensus that I've heard from the American farmer, rancher, forester, processor. And then we need to be working as a team. We need the Biden administration to pay serious attention to holding our trading partners accountable, at the same time finding new markets. And there's lots of them out there. There's lots of bellies to be filled around the world. And there's nothing better than, quite frankly, American-produced commodities.
Couldn't agree more with that. House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson for Pennsylvania. Chairman Thompson, thanks as always for joining us on AOA, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Take care. God bless.
We'll be back with more AOA brought to you by CEDEX on the way right after this.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstro with this check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. Corn. Over the next 10 days, Missouri, Iowa, and Wisconsin are slated to get 2 to 4 inches more of rain. Southern states remain far too wet, with flooding also an issue there. Corn export demand remains bullish, with U.S. corn sales running 23% ahead of last year. Inspections are up a hefty 32%. Weather problems are impacting Brazil's second safrinha corn crop, where it remains too hot and dry in central Brazil, while southern Brazil has been subject to heavy rain and flooding. That's impacting their soybean crop in the middle of their harvest. Soybeans, the soybean rally has been led by soybean meal, seemingly defying the end of the short-lived Argentine port strike. On Thursday, rumors of yet another possible strike began to circulate. Bean oil futures haven't participated in the rally, though, instead trading sideways just above the newly minted contract low. Soybean oil futures have traded at the lowest level since 2021, as the share of bean oil in renewable diesel production was reported to be the lowest level since the surge in production. In the U.S., heavy rain is sure to delay seeding efforts over the next week. Wheat. Rain had been predicted to help the dry situation in the Black Sea, but that apparently fizzled out, and both Ukraine and southern Russia remain far too dry. Dryness is also a factor for wheat in the U.S. southwestern hard red winter areas, and especially western Kansas. There's potential for some relief, but it looks like totals are likely to be less than a quarter of an inch for those dry areas of Kansas. On the livestock side, cattle had a strong open-end trade throughout Thursday. There was the announcement that no avian flu matter was found in ground beef that had been tested. On top of that, cash cattle began trading $1 to $2 higher. That's a check at agricultural market information from the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around. Reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm. Bulk diesel fuel storage can boost productivity and maximize your ROI. Learn more at your local Cenex location or visit cenex.com for more information. Well, let's talk the overall Midwest economy. Take a look at the Rural Main Street Index, the Mid-American business economy as well, the manufacturing side. We're going to talk about everything here as we have a conversation with Dr. Ernie Goss from Creighton University. And Dr. Goss, welcome back to AOA. Thanks for joining us. How are you, sir?
Hey, good to be with you, Jesse, and I'm doing peachy. I grew up in Georgia, so that's the way you got to be if you grew up in Georgia.
I love it. That is a great way to be, especially here as we look at the overall economy and more. And let's start with the Rural Main Street Index as we kind of look more on the agriculture side, et cetera. And the April survey results, I know we saw the index sink below growth neutral for, I believe, the eighth straight month. Talk about the latest results from that Rural Main Street Index.
Of course, Jesse, this is a survey of bank CEOs in rural areas of 10 states, and those bankers are reporting on agricultural conditions. And it wasn't good, as you said. Agricultural commodity prices not rebounding like we'd like to see. Of course, exports are a real problem there, but not as good as we'd like to see. Growth from 2022 to 2023 down, and now 23 to 24 looking down as well. So things are not as good as we'd like to see. But on the flip side, you've seen the energy part of the agricultural sector doing pretty well. In other words, the government is putting out a lot of funds out there in terms of the IRA, supporting wind production, other industries that have a real linkage to the agricultural sector.
Well, and I think about this here, and I was looking through some of the Rural Main Street Index results, and one thing that caught my eye is you talk about, with commodity prices not rebounding the way we'd like, et cetera. farm loans look like they continue to be on the rise here. Talk about that aspect of the where things stand with the overall Midwest economy.
Well, it has been expanding. Farmers are borrowing more heavily. Of course, that has to do with some of the weaker agricultural income. At the same time, the farmers are not spending on agricultural equipment like we'd normally see. We've recorded now nine out of ten months, the farm equipment sales have declined. On the flip side, looking at farm land prices continue to have grown now for 53 straight months. So the farmers are continuing to purchase land, driving up prices, not quite at the pace we saw in previous months and years, but still growing it as well.
Overall, in terms of the ag economy in Midwest states, how concerned are you, Dr. Goss, in terms of just the overall health of the ag economy? I know at times that could be a little more insulated from the broader economy, but your thoughts are, how concerned or are you concerned with the current state of the Midwest ag economy right now?
Our current state, Jesse, is moving somewhat sideways to a bit down. Not concerned about long term, and now that's assuming we see some movement in terms of the farm bill going through Congress. Likewise, I'd like to see the presidential candidates, two chief ones, talk more about increasing trade rather than restricting trade. That's a real threat to the agricultural economy and the manufacturing economy, for that matter, moving forward. I don't like the language about talking about restricting and trade barriers and so on. Agriculture is an international industry. It needs trade, and we're not hearing that from Congress or the presidential candidates.
We are having a conversation with Dr. Ertie Goss from Creighton University, and let's move over and let's talk about the Business Conditions Index, the Mid-America Business Conditions Index. That's another survey that you helped lead and release with Creighton University. What did that survey show us here currently about the Midwest economy?
Well, that's some better news, Jesse. The overall index grew to its highest level since September of last year. Manufacturing is still not as strong as we'd like to see, but it is moving forward. Again, exports are an issue there as well as in agriculture. We're seeing some hiring, not as strong as we'd like to see, manufacturing hiring out there. And some of that's just because of the availability of labor. Labor is still in short supply for many of the states that we survey. This is, of course, manufacturing in nine, what we call the Mid-America states, stretching right down the middle of the country. But it is, again, rebounding. The national number came out this week as well. It was down below growth neutral. Our number was above growth neutral, though.
Well, and thinking about this, and you mentioned the national numbers and more, and this just the overall continued inflationary environment. I know we had a Fed meeting here this past week as well. They left interest rates unchanged. But how concerned are folks in this survey about this continued elevated inflationary pressure and the seemingly that the Fed is, you know, still trying to get to that 2% target, but we're not quite there yet? Your thoughts on that?
Well, that is important. It is unfortunately going the wrong direction. Instead of moving down as we'd like to see and as the Fed would like to see, it has moved upward a bit. Now, I still think we're going to see that under control, but the Fed is going to have to hold in terms of interest rates. The markets, investors have been expecting 6 to 7 rate cuts for this year. That's never was going to happen. The Fed and most economists such as myself, I expected 3. Now I've reduced that to 2. It could come down to 1 because the economy is just, we're just seeing too much inflationary pressures. And that's true even in both surveys that we conduct. A lot of inflationary pressures, even as the economy, I won't say weakens, but it's certainly not getting stronger. The manufacturing sector is getting stronger, but the other sectors in the U.S. economy and the regional economy, not as strong as we'd like to see and moving in the wrong direction.
In the Business Conditions Index, as I know you guys break things down state by state as well, was there any big notes in one state or another in particular, or was everything fairly equal in this month's Conditions Index?
stronger in South Dakota and weaker in North Dakota. I mean, that was very clear in this survey. And South Dakota has been moving much more briskly than the other states. North Dakota, the downturn for the month was unexpected. And I trace that back to exports, some of the exports, and also the energy sector in North Dakota, not as strong as we've seen in previous months. But North Dakota, we've seen some pretty good growth there. And if you move down the midsection of the country, most of the states are doing okay. Moving again, we're talking about manufacturing there, but again, as you pointed to earlier, prices, we're still seeing too much inflationary pressures, and that just means the Fed's not going to be able to reduce interest rates like they thought they were going to, and it's going to mean elevated interest rates for home buyers and others out there for perhaps the rest of them. For the rest of 2024.
Well, I know folks can look at both of these surveys and the historical data, creighton.edu/economic outlook for more information. Dr. Goss, as we kind of wrap up here, just got a couple of minutes. Overall, as you continue to watch these surveys monthly of the trends, and to your point there about maybe for the rest of the year, if we crystal ball this a little bit, I mean, outside of the interest rate inflationary environment, any other major things that you would consider that folks need to really keep an eye on here and think about in terms of the overall health of the Midwest economy moving forward the rest of the year?
Well, Jesse, we've got a federal government that's spending funds hand over fist, $2.2 trillion deficit this year. So even though we've got elevated interest rates, we've got, I'll call it fiscal dominance. In other words, the spending by the federal government is overcoming the weakness we'd normally see in the rest of the economy. And I think what we're going to see is continuing elevated inflation, elevated interest rates, because the federal government has just got to cut back on the spending because they are primarily responsible for the higher interest rates that we're now seeing and we're likely to continue to see. The federal government has got to get the spending back in control so we can see lower interest rates so home buyers' mortgage rates can come down instead of going up.
No, that's a great point, and I would agree with you. It just, I mean, what is the last figures? We're spending like $2 billion a day on our interest on our debt. I mean, spending like that, Dr. Goss, I don't foresee how that is sustainable, and I think a lot of folks don't see how that is sustainable.
It is not sustainable, and as you said, interest on the debt that we've acquired, $35 trillion almost, and that's exceeding the defense budget. We're going to be spending more there than on the defense side.
It is quite staggering, quite staggering. Well, we really appreciate the time today. I know folks, again, can learn more, creighton.edu/economic outlook. With that, Dr. Erty Goss, Creighton University, thanks for joining us again here on Agriculture of America. We will get you back on the show again real soon, sir. Thanks so much.
Always good to be with you, Jesse. Thanks.
Dr. Erty Goss there with Creighton University. And again, the overall health of that Midwest economy, looking at both the ag side, the Rural Main Street Index, as well as that business conditions, the manufacturing side, just some interesting things there. But again, that overall inflationary environment here across the country is going to continue to weigh on things. And to our kind of last points there, I'll reiterate it again. I don't know how it's sustainable here with the amount of money that the federal government is spending. I hope we can find some answers and get some things under control. I'm not an expert on this. That's why we have folks like Dr. Goss here on the show. But common sense tells me we got to do something. All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by SEDEX. We're going to talk aviation safety and drones with Andrew Moore from the National Agricultural Aviation Association. We'll be back with more on AOA, brought to you by SEDEX Premium Diesel, on the way right after this.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because when people don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from, they can truly thrive, like Marta.
And now we'll hear from our class valedictorian, who with our hard work never ceases to amaze us. Please welcome Marta Moreno.
And Alex.
Hey, Alex, how did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
I knew it. Let's meet up later to celebrate.
And Diego.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. feedingamerica.org/act now. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Cody Lee, a crop protection and adjuvants expert with CHS, will discuss the benefits of choosing the right adjuvants. Cody, why are adjuvants an important part of a crop protection plan?
Adjuvants are substances that are going to, when added to a tank mix, going to enhance the performance or physical properties of a tank mix. What that means to me is adjuvants are helping us get more of our pesticides to where they need to be, right? Making sure they're preventing that droplet dryout, making sure we're getting adequate coverage on our different pests we're trying to control.
Well, what type of adjuvants are available and why can the right choice make or break a tank mix?
There are all kinds of adjuvants out there. For simplicity, I'd characterize them as being either surfactant, something that's going to spread and wet, an oil, something that's going to break down that cuticle, a water conditioner to basically condition our hard water that we have, or some sort of all-in-one product or drift control agent. Deciding which adjuvant, though, can be kind of tricky. So to me, growers have to prioritize what their goals actually are. What is your goal for crop safety versus weed control? And then the other one is, what is our actual target or objective of this tank mix?
How can adjuvants help optimize the return on a producer's crop protection investment?
Adjuvants can help us maximize our ROI by controlling pests. So what those pests are doing, they're actively out there robbing our yield. Whether it's insects constantly feeding, diseases that are slowly killing our crops, or weeds that are constantly out there competing for space, sunlight, moisture, even our nutrition that we put down. By not controlling those, they're constantly bringing down our potential yield.
Well, where could farmers learn more about adjuvants and crop protection strategies?
Agronomy is kind of in the business of relationships, so go and find that trusted agronomist. And if they don't have the answer, I'm sure they can point you in the right direction.
Thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Premium Lubricants. Trust your local experts or visit Cenex.com for more information. Joining us now here on the program, he is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Agricultural Aviation Association. Andrew Moore is with us here today on the program. Andrew, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm just living the dream, Jesse. Great to be with you.
Thank you for the time. Let's talk safety for agricultural aircraft here as we get into planting and the growing season. And I know a lot more usage of drones here in agriculture as the years keep moving forward. And so I know you guys have come out and really urged folks to be a little more cautious and be aware of their surroundings here if they're, you know, flying drones and have low-flying aircraft going around their fields, et cetera. I mean, talk about this a little bit for us, Andrew.
Yeah, sure thing. Just to paint the picture, aerial application accounts for 127 million acres of cropland each year. They're treating, whether it's fertilizer or seeding or pesticides to grow a healthy crop. We are in the midst of the 2024 season now, and we got 127 million acres to treat, which is about close to a third of the cropland. And that doesn't include another 5.1 million acres for forests and 7.9 million acres for pasture and rangeland, doing cover crop works towards the end of the season. So a lot of ground to cover. We have probably around 3,000 aircraft in our fleet in the U.S. to do that work. And at the same time, we're seeing a very big growth of UAS or drones. UAS are uncrewed aircraft systems or drones in the airspace as well, sharing that airspace. Because when we make an application, we're just 10 feet off the ground for a liquid application and about 40 feet off the ground for a seed or fertilizer dry application. So we'll be sharing the airspace with drones. And right now we're seeing the FAA predicts or estimates there's about 864,000 drones registered with them. So obviously they'll be in some urban areas and other areas too, but a lot are being used, as you know, for aerial imaging and for doing aerial application work as well. So we're all in that low altitude airspace. And, you know, when we're faring, we're probably faring only between meeting when we're traveling from a landing strip or and takeoff and landing strip to the field. We're about 500 feet. Then we have to come down to that 10 to 40 foot level. So we'll be sharing that airspace. So airspace safety is paramount and important to us, or aviation safety. So we're urging the uncrewed aircraft folks to just keep an eye out for us for manned aircraft, because it's very difficult for a manned aircraft to see drones. There's been studies done where 90% of the time they can't even spot a drone when they know one's out there. And if they can spot it at 10% of the time, roughly, they can't track it because it's much smaller. And obviously manned aircraft for doing aerial application work, they have their focus on making sure they're making a nicely painted application and looking for other obstacles like towers and trees and wires and so forth. So for a drone to give the right of way to the manned aircraft is of utmost importance, and it's the law, but also to equip with strobe lights, flashing lights, fluorescent paint, and also detect and avoid systems like ADS-B, where they can track other aircraft, such as our manned aircraft, that are equipped with ADS-B, that, so they'll know where they are, and hence can avoid them, and whether they land and wait till it's clear from the manned aircraft or not. That's important too. We also have on our website, which is agaviation.org or agaviation.org. At the top of the page, there's a find an aerial applicator cell that you can go to and just put in your zip code and maybe find a manned aerial application operation that's an NAAA member that's near you, so you can be in communication with that operation and coordinate better. So those are some of the things we're promoting. And the FAA its annual Drone Safety Awareness Day was last Saturday, so they're promoting awareness to make sure drones are aware of manned aircraft and operating safely as well.
Well, Andrew, and of course, you know, with the rise in the use of drones, we know there's a lot of room in the space here for drone use, especially for some of those hard to reach areas of a field where maybe a plane or a helicopter can't get to easily or safely. But just with the rise in the use of drones, of course, to all of your great points, it comes down to awareness and making sure you pay attention so we don't have any sort of accidents or tragedies happen in the field, right?
Exactly. And you hit the nail on the head there, Jesse. You know, we're seeing more and more of our operators incorporating drones into their operations to treat those difficult to reach areas where, you know, it might be too tight to get in a manned aircraft, whether it's a helicopter or a fixed wing. Might be an area that's heavily trafficked with trees or heavily trafficked with wires and towers. So they're bringing in and becoming hybrid operations to treat some of those areas and really augmenting their own safety. Also, maybe using the drones to do some aerial imaging work, which helps to develop those maps for those digital maps that are useful for prescribed or precision ag applications. We're actually seeing just solely drone operations that are becoming members of our associations, too. And it's kind of a complementary service, not a competitive service, what we're seeing.
Well, Andrew, great stuff. Final thoughts before we run out of time and let you go here today.
Yeah, absolutely. So we all want to ensure the longevity of the aerial application industry because it's so important in terms of its speed, that it can treat the field to eradicate the pest, and also it can treat areas that can't be treated by terrestrial applications. It's not harmful to the crop because it's sprayed above it and not within it and compacting soil or so forth. So all very important reasons to apply by air. We want to make sure it's safe and efficacious, so no accidents, so that we're all safe and come home to our families at the end of the day.
Well, again, learn more at agaviation.org. With that, the CEO of the National Agricultural Aviation Association, Andrew Moore. Andrew, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Likewise, Jesse.
With that, we're out of time on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
We're with Bridget, whose husband won't be home for months, and whose daughter is due any day. We're with Mike, who's leaving home to protect his family and yours. We're with all service members and their families who need community, connection, and maybe a bit of magic. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today. We're with Liam after his fourth military move, when being new is starting to get old. We're with Tara during the holidays, when she misses home the most. We're with all service members and their families who need connection, comfort, and a home away from home. Are you with them? Learn more at USO.org today.